Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the podcast.
Robo fucking cop.
As far as I'm concerned, Bruce Willis can go get a bag of dicks.
Get off my shit.
ConfessionsOfAMovieSnob.com.
Nooch to the motherfucking nooch. Welcome to the podcast. I am one of your hosts, Ethan, and of course, this is the other host, that other guy, Aaron. Say hi, Aaron.
The other guy.
Yeah, you're the other guy.
Hi, I'm the other guy. I am uncool Aaron.
Yes, I'm here with an uncool one, an uncool person, and his name is Aaron. Apparently, I'm cool and he's uncool, or are we both uncool?
Well, I'm definitely labeled as uncool, and I think that you're pretty awesome. No, you're uncool. So, yeah, okay.
I'd say if you're uncool, I got to be uncool, too. So maybe we'll trend. We'll start a trend of uncoolness.
That's all of us. But I still like describing you as the writer, Ethan Parker.
Okay. I'm the uncool writer, Ethan Parker. Of course, my uncool co-host is, of course, the uncool Aaron Hoover. And... Mm-hmm. Welcome to the first installment of the show on the brand new network on Nerdvana Network. This should be the first podcast released under the network banner, and for many more to come, and many more shows that are on the horizon too. So, Nerdvana
Already
Network.
Made 89 cents.
I have made 89 cents. I haven't checked that total today, but. Of course, when this is released, that figure might be doubled. That's right.
Wow.
I'm raking in that money.
Swimming pools and movie stars.
I know. I'm thinking those diamond-studded swimming pools, you know, solid gold Humvees, even
solid
though
gold
I hate
Humvees,
those cars.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate those cars, but, you know, I figure I might as well own one, right? Just to, you know, look at it, take pictures in front of it. Yeah, that's my bling.
So, explain the Pool Network. I'm done. Jesus God. Explain the Nerdvana Network.
Oh, so you're already taken over. I see. Okay.
That's how I work.
The Nerdvana Network is a collection of like-minded nerd-esque podcasts, blogs, and other websites that are all under the Nerdvana banner, all in-house, and all people that we know, people we love, and people that we want to make cool stuff with, or in your case, uncool stuff with. It includes
The point of a Project Uncool is to be cool.
That's true. So, I mean, you are working.
I've lost 67 pounds. That's pretty fucking cool.
That is pretty cool. You've lost it. I found it. It's all good.
Yep.
But the Nerdvana Network, centralized at, of course, nerdvananetwork.com, right now encompasses, of course, the Confessions of a Movie Snob podcast and website, as well as the Gamers Haven podcast and website. It also is going to have has the affiliates of our wonderful blogs that we've mentioned in previous shows, but my Why Not Write blog, where I try to, well, write. Not even I don't try to write, I write. That's what I do. Because I am the uncool writer. And speaking of uncool, it's also got projectuncool.com on there too. That's your blog. What's that all about?
Like I've been telling people is I don't remember exactly when it was, but 2 months ago or something. Well, I've always known that I'm, you know, pretty much uncool. I don't like that about myself. And like, I don't know, I got into reading a lot of blogs, and I've been into podcasting forever. Well, 3 years, that's not exactly forever, but a long time, it seems like. And I decided that I just wanted to stop whining on the sidelines about being uncool and start doing things about it. So I looked at things about myself that I'm not particularly happy about, like my that I'm overweight, working on that. I actually do want to get more fit. I want to be more cultured. So, you know, like Rachel and I are going to work on like seeing, you know, music shows and stuff like that, instead of sitting around and watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer on DVD for the 150th time.
Sure.
I want my wardrobe to be more fashionable than jeans and a geek shirt. I want grown up clothes as well as badass geek clothes. So what I'm trying to do is, this is a, it's a blog, and the idea is I try to blog in it every day. I have been doing really poorly lately because I've been doing a lot of stuff with confessions, but the idea is just to create a little bit of accountability to you, the listeners, but also to myself. If I feel that I have to have something to write about every day, then I'm going to go ahead and you know, figure out something interesting to do so I have something to write about. For example, I had an interesting visit to McDonald's the other day that I plan on blogging about either tonight or tomorrow, with some really neat shit happened. So yeah, it's just a fun collection of me trying to improve myself, and you know, hopefully some people jump on the bandwagon, give me ideas. People say, hey, this would be neat if you know, if I did this too, and if you know, if you're interested in it, we can certainly affiliate with you, and you know, you can kind of put your progress in there. It's just gonna be a good time. So it's Project Uncool, but it's cool. It's fun to do.
It's definitely. It's why not? You know, it's the whole point of the Nirvana Network is it's all about one. We're trying to be why not people, and scratch that. We are why not people. We're not trying. We are why not people. And we have this whole sort of, you know, great network, I think, of podcasts, blogs, websites that all have I think a great story to tell and a great amount of entertainment value to it. So it's modeled a little
with
bit
good audio quality.
With good audio quality, yes. Hopefully this episode gets to that. Now, we are, of course, recording this episode before the launch of the official launch of the network. So, of course, you know, right now there's big, huge fanfare, and you know, we're off on you know, various tours of Europe and the subcontinent and stuff like that. So, you probably won't be able to, you know, all the hookers and blow that we can get, that sort of thing. It's not exactly that, but following this episode, you'll be able to swing on over to the Gamers Haven podcast to listen to our 100th episode, which is you know, big deal. We hit triple digits, so I mean, that show's been going for almost almost 6 years now, six and a half years, I think, something like that. It's to the point where I've lost track of when we started. So you know, I guess that's something to think about. So, but we have a lot of cool stuff that the network is working on that we can't really talk about yet, but we will be talking about them in the near future. You'll also notice various you know, banners and whatnot on the website. Those are our affiliate links, and those sort of help us keep the lights on. So,
Yep.
So if you're like, say, want to buy a movie ticket through Fandango, you can come to our website first and help give us a little bump by doing that. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. You buy something on Amazon, you do it. I did that actually just yesterday because I asked you the day before. And, you know, I'm like, what the fuck? Did we get hacked? You're like, no, man, those are our affiliates. I'm like, right on. So I went through the site and ordered something on Amazon, and I think we're going to get a nickel for it.
I know. It'll be awesome. And we also got some Hulu Plus on there. Plus, if you want stamps, you can go to stamps.com. So definitely stuff. I'm working on getting us affiliated with a few others, so just stay tuned on that. And eventually we'll actually have straight out, you know, sponsors, and we'll be playing a few ads here and there on various shows on the network. So
we're being all kinds of ambitious. We're even thinking merch.
We're even thinking merchandise, but right now we're looking at you know, paying the site costs and then going beyond that as soon as possible. So yeah. I think we got a lot of cool stuff, and you know, if you've listened to our show, heard it evolve over the last, gosh, what, 2 years, 3 years, 3 years,
3 years,
3 years,
more
yes,
than 3 years,
yeah. If you've heard our show evolve over the last 3 years, that you know, we have we have a lot of fun, and really that's the point. We want to have fun. We want to have fun with our wonderful audience. So.
You know what I think that what I find ironic about our show, Ethan, is we don't have a whole lot of listeners, but occasionally people, like when people do find it, like the thing that Latanya, by the way, thank you, Latanya, because
we got called geniuses. So
we got called geniuses.
Someone not related to us thinks we're geniuses.
Yeah.
And that's a bonus.
Yeah. Yeah, what she did is she listened to our Women Who Kick Ass episode, and she liked it so much she wrote a blog entry about it, and then it got us a shitload of downloads. It was pretty awesome. So I'm looking forward to more stuff like that. I know that a lot of people liked some of our decade shows a lot. I know people liked that. People liked a lot of shows we've done, and that's what I'm trying to do is just get the word out, because it seems I haven't ever really heard people complain about it. They just don't know about it. When they find it, they're all like, you guys know a lot about movies for a couple of bumpkins from Kansas, and that feels good to hear.
That does feel good to hear. We're really self-taught in that regard. I mean, although I have a film degree, it's, you know, I really don't consider it much of anything, honestly, because it's just, I love movies and you love movies, and that's sort of why we're here. So
I'm kind of like an idiot savant of movies. You know, I have zero training or anything like that, but I figured it out on my own. Or I'm just an idiot, but hey, whatever. I do have a lot of knowledge, even if it's incorrect.
Yep. Yes, you do. But it's all good. Mm-hmm. You know, we have...
it's all good.
We have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun with it.
Yep. Yes, we do. So is the topic going to be tonight? Because I think it actually ties into our whole why not attitude that we're taking into the Nerdvana Network.
It does. It does. We're diving in and we're talking about someone that I really, really admire and really have a lot of in common with, or really sort of someone I really idolize, honestly, and it's none other than Kevin Smith. That's right, it's that Clerks guy.
That Kevin Smith.
It's that
Clerks guy.
That Clerks guy. Yeah. That you know made his first movie back in 1994 for $27,000. We're going to talk about him and sort of what he's accomplished and sort of his ideals and his what he's espoused over the last several years and how it really, you know, really lit a fire under me, or really really you know rang true with me and got me off my butt and said, hey, let's do this. I'm going to do this network thing. And, you know, I
just in a new idea.
No, it is
something I'm very proud about with the Nerdvana Network.
Yes.
Is this is something we launched. Well, I tried to launch before the Smodcast Network.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wasn't as good as building websites then, and I got busy with school and I, you know, got married.
And we're not implying that Kevin Smith stole our idea, mind you. No, it's
Podcast Network's been around a lot longer than Smodcast.
I mean, he's not Tim Burton, so.
No, he is not Tim Burton. No, he is not. But yeah, we are going to talk about Kevin Smith. You know, I don't want to say just his films, but you know, we're just going to kind of talk about him as, you know, a geek personality, an entrepreneur, a why not man. Is there anything that we want to discuss about ourselves personally in affiliation with Kevin Smith before we get rolling on this? Because he does kind of have a sordid past with us on this podcast.
He does. I mean, been through ups and downs with him. I mean, the first, really, my sort of background with the guy is I'm one of those guys who my gateway into the Kevin Smithoverse, or however you want to call it, was Mallrats.
The Viewist Universe.
The Viewist Universe, yes. Was Mallrats. And I saw it on home video, and I loved it and thought it was hilarious. And I mean, anyone who listens to the show, and you especially, know it's not easy for me to find a comedy I actually like. And you know, at first glance, you know, it's like at first sort of knee-jerk, you know, Kevin Smith's type of comedies really aren't ones that should really appeal to me, but they do. Especially, I don't know what it was about Mallrats, but it really sort of resonated with me, and it really, really spoke to me, especially at the time when I saw it. And I can't even recall the first time that I saw it. I remember I rented it from Hastings in Lawrence. And
I saw it in theaters.
See, I the first movie of his I saw in theaters was Chasing Amy.
Yeah, I mean, there's that whole joke, because I wanted to see Mallrats in theaters, but I was sick that day, because it did not have a very good life in theaters. You know, infamously tanked. And if you listen to anything Kevin Smith or Kevin Smith affiliated, you're well aware of that. But yeah, I saw Clerks in theaters because of the fact that I don't know. Do I have it very well publicized? The Pulp Fiction is the movie that made me love movies, because it is.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction is, you know, by far the movie It's the movie that made me love movies. And I was reading about stuff in IndieWire magazine about Quentin Tarantino and Pulp Fiction stuff. And there was a little blurb in there about this movie called Clerks. And it was, guys working in a convenience store. And at the time, I was working at a fast food restaurant. And I watched it, and it really spoke to me because people are weird. And, it's just it was nice to see it.
And to me, it was the other way around. When I first saw Clerks, I hadn't had a retail job like that, so I really didn't like Clerks the first time I saw it. And then, really, it comes down to you and I working at Miracle Video, and it was that and that experience working there that just made me immediately connect with Clerks and immediately realize that this is speaking to me. Yes, it's a lot of people don't consider it to be part of our generation. We're a little young for it, because when it came out, we were 14. But
I disagree with that.
Well, so do I. I mean, I think it is completely part of we're sort of at the tail end of that generation at the very least. But I love it. I think it's a movie that has. It's a very honest movie about how, it could be, because anyone who's worked in those retail jobs has had customers like that and has wanted to do that. And it's very much a movie that is for a certain generation or a certain type of person that has had to deal with, retail customers in an environment like that. And once I was put in that position and I dealt with people like that, I got that movie. It clicked, and Clerks clicked,
Who was it that made the first observation of "you are Dante and I was Randall"? Who was it that brought that up? I don't think it was either one of us, because I know when I heard it, I felt stupid for not immediately making the connection.
Yeah.
I don't remember who it was, but somebody said it, and we're like, "Oh my God, you're right."
It was either Tyler or Anthony, honestly.
It had to have been.
But I don't remember where that originally came from. But yeah, it was the I'm Dante and you're Randall type of thing.
Oh yeah, I wasn't nearly as pithy as Randall, and I didn't have the cool remarks like Randall. But I was the guy that cared a little bit less about the management. I was just all like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if I told this guy that when he's asking for a movie called Stab, when it was Bats just upside down, I don't know what you're talking about when I know fully well what he is, because he's just a fucking idiot. Why are you renting? Why are you renting? Whatever. Or they're renting The Sixth Sense. Oh yeah, Bruce Willis is dead all the way through this. Just fucking with the customers. It was a good time, and I know that I gave you because you were my manager. I gave you plenty of headaches, and it was
quote unquote manager. So yeah.
Yeah.
Quote unquote. We use that term very loosely, but I mean that was a lot of fun. That job had its ups and downs, and I remember.
I still look back on it as the job I had the most fun at. Gas station I worked at.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and to that end, that was the amusing part. Is I was working at the video store, and you were working at a gas station. Entirely a little bit of role reversal, but I was the Dante, and you were the Randall. So. But it's just these movies really, especially Clerks and even Mallrats, because Mallrats really talked to me as a fan of comic books, that, this is a movie that it's in Clerks and in Mallrats, really, especially Mallrats, this is a movie that really represents sort of how I feel about certain things, and especially when it comes to my being a geek and being someone who loves to be a nerd, because back then being a nerd or being a geek was not in vogue, far from it. Oh yeah, I mean you could like Batman, and that was sort of a safe zone, but he had entered the mainstream with movies, but other than that, other comic books were. Oh, you read X-Men, you read, so X-Men was sort of borderline, but, other than that, it was you read comic books, oh, well, you're a dork, and it wasn't a, hey, you're cool, you're a geek, it was, yeah, you're not cool, you are a geek. And these movies came out in a time when, guys like you and me needed something like that to sort of cling to, that we could, bond manly, geekly, and bond sure. together with Red Meat and Clerks and Mallrats and stuff. So, and of course, this is before the huge you know, the huge internet explosion in the turn of the millennium. But so you didn't have an easy way to connect with these things. And, you know, Kevin Smith talks about it in his book, Tough Shit, how, you know, back in those days, it was hard to connect with someone that had the same or similar interests, especially if it was a movie geek or stuff like that. You had to do that. Well, I've joked about it as being a not only being a movie geek, but like a gamer geek, is that you need a secret hand signal to show people almost. That, oh, hey, I roll dice for fun, or you know, I'm totally into the Seven Samurai and shit like that. So, you know, back then that would have helped, but you know, movies were a bit much more accepted love of something than other things. I know all during high school, I was just a nerd at that pushed TVs around and did worked in the media department, but that's sort of what I did. And ironically,
I was a nerd that was smoking pot in the park, but same basic idea.
Yeah,
same basic idea.
Well, and it should
I've gotten
be
over that, but that's what I used to.
Yeah, and it should be established that Aaron and I went to high school together, but didn't know each other in high school. You knew me as the guy with the Batman watch.
As a badass Batman watch, I still need one of those.
Yeah, mine needs a new battery. Mine needs
I'll buy
new
the battery if you can give me the watch.
Tempting, but no. But Kevin Smith was, and still is, you know, I mean, there was a time there where I kind of fell off of him and got a little jaded in regards to him. But I sort of got my head out of my ass and figured out that, you know, he was started listening to what he was saying and not listening to what other people were saying about him type of thing. And really came out of it and listened and started reading a lot of what he was talking about. And it was really a revelation. So, and a long way of telling now, it, that's a way of we're talking about Kevin Smith today.
We are indeed. And like he said, you know, he did kind of have his head up his ass about Kevin Smith for a while there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call myself, I'm not going to use a positive descriptor of me, but I've never fallen off the bandwagon. I've always liked Kevin Smith. Mm-hmm. There's been several times, like the first time we did our favorite directors, he was on my list.
I'm totally guilty of swaying with public opinion on subjects, and you know, I'm trying to get a lot better at that of having a spine and having my own opinion and sticking with it. So, if I could go back, you know,
Get me wrong.
No, okay, I won't get you wrong.
I like Kevin Smith. I do not think that everything he does is awesome. Like, no. You know, his stance against critics, I don't agree with. I don't agree with it because I guess it just depends on your level of, you know, positivity. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a film reviewer. I don't, you know, just talk about it, say what you liked about it, say what you didn't like about it. But I do think, like, when you start going after filmmakers and stuff and, you know, saying, you know, this guy sucks and he shouldn't be allowed to make a movie, I don't see any value in that whatsoever. I mean, obviously it's your opinion, but at the same time, I do have a hard time with Kevin Smith's stance on film critics, film reviewers, because of the fact he has a fucking movie review show on Hulu. I mean, there's something kind of hypocritical about that. But don't get me wrong, there's not hypocritical.
Well,
I just...
But if you listen, you're talking about spoilers, right? But you listen to the last thing he says at the end of each show is, don't listen to me or these jackasses here. Go see it for yourself. And I think if more critics took that stance as far as, because I dealt with some marketing over this summer, and I had to deal with some film critics. And let me tell you, there are some film critics out there, and a good majority of them, who are very full of themselves and full of their own opinions and figure that if they write about it, that's the be-all, end-all of the thing. And if they say it's a piece of shit, then it's a piece of shit, and everyone shouldn't go see it. And whereas I am of the mind of, it's my opinion that it's a piece of shit, but go make up your own fucking mind. And I think that's where he's at.
You know, and again, you talk about evolution over the course of the show. That was not you when we started the show by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I've been fighting with it. I've been trying to galvanize myself as a, you know, yeah, I hate this movie, but I don't care if you do or whatever. Mm. And I don't even like to say I hate a movie because there's very few movies that I do hate. What I know that we on April 1st last year, the year before, we did a show that was about the movies that we hated. Like, you know, these movies suck, I think I ended up calling it. And I was resistant to that. You know, I fought that for 2 years.
Oh, yeah. That was not a fun show to
be
do.
About positivity.
Yeah. I mean, and that wasn't it was a fun what? Show to do. And, you know, listen
actually,
to that show.
It was a blast to talk about it because it was kind of fun to, you know, finally have that wail against these things we really don't like.
Yeah, but
at the same time,
by the end of that show, though, we were spent. We were just like, you know, I don't want to talk about this stuff anymore.
Ask Rachel. I was drained and fucking furious by the end of that show. I was mad for the rest of the night because I didn't like talking about it.
Yeah.
But, and I will admit that, you know, maybe I have that opinion about, you know, not agreeing with Kevin Smith's thing on, you know, film critics, because I actually am finally starting to listen to people. I've been hearing my whole adult life that, like, dude, you should be a film critic. You know, you have something valuable to say. And I'm like, no, I don't. And I actually am going to try to become a film critic in some sense. I do know that I'm going to resist the term film critic. I want to think of myself as a movie reviewer because I do not think that I have the credentials to be a film reviewer. You know, I didn't go to, you know, film analyst class or school or anything like that. But, you know, I'm a hell of a movie watcher. And so, you know, I would like to have a thing with, yeah, I like this movie. Oh, yeah. And it could be,
well,
it can be something, you know.
You're not so much into film theory. You're not into film theory. That's what you're saying.
It's got to reach out and grab me by the nuts, but you're pretty right. You know, I'll get into film theory with the movie where you can't deny it, and something like Pulp Fiction. I mean, that's a movie where the film theory just, you know, fascinates me.
But there are some movies out there.
I like this movie because.
But there are some movies out there, especially, and I think Kevin Smith falls into this type of a filmmaker who, you know, who makes movies because they just want to make movies. They're not trying to make a huge statement out of anything. And what drove me nuts personally in film theory courses was that actually in the documentary class I took was just the utter pretentiousness of it. Was, you know, well, of course the filmmaker is trying to say this with this thing, and I'm like, well, how the hell do you know that? You know, and
well, some of those they can back that up, but
sure.
You know, it shouldn't be about the filmmaker. Obviously, the filmmaker is trying to say this. It could be, you know, my view is the filmmaker was trying to say that. Like, actually, I've been writing reviews on our website, confessionsofamoviesnob.com. I'm working, man. Look at that fucking plug, smooth. But at any rate, it's on confession. I'm going down the list of my top five favorite films, and I wrote a review of Shaun of the Dead, and I get into, you know, I feel that the filmmakers were trying to do this. I have no way of substantiating that, but I didn't say obviously, you know, sitting there in my wingback chair with my tweed jacket and my pipe.
Yeah.
And I feel that they are trying to do this, and that's really what it needs to be. Is I really don't like this I'm right, you're wrong thing and film criticism.
Yeah,
but you know, it's fun to put your opinions out there, and that I think I could do that well, because I do think that, you know, I'm not particularly pretentious, so meh.
No, Kevin, not generally Smith, no. Huh? But yes, Kevin Smith. But no, I mean, this all still goes into Kevin Smith, and sort of, you know, he has had his been at odds with critics ever. I mean, since his first movie, he's been at odds with critics.
He's really been at odds with critics since
Jersey Girl. Jersey Girl.
Cop Out.
Well,
no.
Jersey
no, no,
Girl.
No, no, no. It was Cop Out when
he
well,
had
yeah,
some
they
serious
to attack his ass hard.
Yeah. It was
but
before
it,
that
it
with
was,
Jersey
it
Girl.
Was in, well, no, no. But it was in Cop Out where he came out and he said, you know, maybe you film critics are full of shit. You know, where he was testing the waters because he knew what he had planned for Red State.
Right.
You know, so there's nothing at all. There's nothing wrong with being at odds with film critics. I mean, I think every filmmaker comes to that point at some point. But I don't know. And at the same, that's what I'm trying to say is I am a fan of Kevin Smith. I've always been a fan of Kevin Smith. But I don't always agree with him. Like for one thing,
yeah.
I feel awful saying this, sort of. But if I find out that his wife is on a podcast, I won't listen to it because I don't like her. I really do not like his wife. She is so boring and so predictable, and she just feels like a, you know, mail away for a feminist package kind of feminist. I mean, she's so predictable. She's so boring, you know, but, you know, overall, you know, I enjoy his tone. I enjoy what he does. And one of my favorite things about Kevin Smith, and I got into an argument with Chris McLaughlin on a previous show, is, you know, he doesn't put out the greatest movies ever, but the thing that I like about him is I cannot think of a more accessible filmmaker out there. I mean, how many other filmmakers are out there that literally have, you know, probably, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of hours of just talking about filmmaking and, you know, or, you know, taking a dump or having sex or getting kicked off a plane. You know, I do think that he's one of the most well-documented filmmakers. And so I think that makes people, you know, sitting in basements, having podcasts and stuff like that, they feel more, you know, connected to somebody like him than, say, your, you know, Hitchcocks or your Spielbergs or somebody like that.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about him, because, I feel like he's, you know, he's the nerd's filmmaker. I mean, it's, you know, he's favorited tweets I've tweeted at him before. Well, he's responded to me before.
Not necessarily is he the nerd's filmmaker. He's the people's filmmaker, you know? I mean, embraces talking to everyone.
But he's not your filmmaker's filmmaker.
Right. And that's nothing against the guy. I mean, he'll be the first to admit that he's not Steven Spielberg.
Right.
And I'll completely agree with him on that. No, I'm sorry, Kevin, you are not. You know, you are not Steven Spielberg, but where Steven Spielberg is, it's Steven Spielberg, or it's, you refer to him as Spielberg, Kevin Smith, you feel okay saying it's Kevin, you know?
Yeah, it's Kevin. But at the same time, just because you're not Spielberg or Kurosawa, or Chaplin, doesn't mean that you don't have value. And, you know, that's what frustrates the hell out of me about, you know, people like, oh, fuck Kevin Smith, he just writes, you know, dick and fart joke movies. I'm like, that has value, you know, that has its place.
That has an audience.
You know, it might not be... Yeah, and you know, maybe I'm a easily led automaton, but I enjoy his movies for the most part. I know you didn't like Cop Out. Yeah, you couldn't even finish Cop Out. I kind of liked Cop Out. I know that Rachel and I watched it together. We were actually laughing. It took a good hour to get into it.
Typical of me is I love the story behind the making of Cop Out, you know, more than Cop Out itself. Yeah. You know? I need to sit down and watch that movie with a commentary, because I just love Kevin Smith commentary.
There isn't a commentary.
See, that sucks, and I would love to. I would love to hear.
On the Blu-ray, there is a thing where it's a video thing with Kevin Smith, like, talking all the way through it, but there's none of, like, the awful Bruce Willis stories or any of the cool shit that we've heard on, you know, like in, like, in Tough Shit or on Smodcast or on have you heard his interview on WTF with Marc Maron? It was the first time that he first time that he spoke out against about what happened with Bruce Willis. Look that up. It's, first off, WTF with Marc Maron is probably one of the best podcasts on the internet. It's a great fucking show. But his Kevin Smith interview was very excellent. And if you can't find it, let me know, and I can get you pointed that direction.
I'll track it down.
It's a good one.
Well, and sort of that goes into a little bit of Kevin Smith, is that I haven't listened to all his podcasts. I haven't seen every single frame of film he's ever done. And, you know, I feel that I have
not all his podcasts, but I have listened to all his film. You have a good enough grasp on him.
Yeah, we have a good enough grasp on him. But I mean, the guy has a lot of material out there, and I mean, I dare say how much audio the man has recorded. You know, I mean, it's a lot. Weeks upon weeks of audio, if not years of audio at this point.
At least months, because we have weeks upon weeks.
Yes,
and he's been doing it for 7 years.
Yeah, and it's he's just very prolific in what he does, and not everything that he does or has his hands in appeals to single groups of audiences. Like, I'm not a big fan of the Course Modcast show, but I love Smoothie Makers. I love
great episodes in it.
Yeah, there are great episodes in it, but I love Smoothie Makers. Highlands, a Peephole Story is good. Obviously, Hollywood Babylon.
Have you heard that one yet?
I've listened to some of it.
I love that show. It's a really good show. I wish they did it more often. Well, it's just like, you know, we keep talking about evolution and, you know, evolution of Kevin Smith or evolution of, you know, Confessions, especially from Red Phone Zone to Confessions, but... Wow, am I losing my train? No. When we started talking about this, because, I've always been a fan of Kevin Smith, and I knew that Ethan was, you know, ho-hum about him for a while, and then, you know, he he discovered, you know, all this stuff, and he, you know, was really getting behind him. And I said to him, well, this means we need to do a Kevin Smith show. And, you know, when we first started out, we were going to do a typical, a top six list, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, and, like, whatever. And then, I got to thinking about it. I'm like, I do want to talk about his movies, but there's so much more about him than his movies. I don't think we should limit ourselves like that. Cause how stupid would it be for our podcast, which at least on my part was partially, it was partially inspired by Smodcast, and not talk about Smodcast or, some of his great comic book runs. And we did, I've talked a couple of times before about some of his different Batman stories that I like quite a bit. I do like the guy's, prolific, catalog out there, because he's done television shows. He's done tons of podcasts, movies, television shows, comic books, hockey tournaments, opening comic book stores. I mean, the guy's got his finger in a lot of pie, and I think that just comes from the, hey, why not? Because, why not open a comic book store? Why not try to direct a pilot that he didn't write? And it's fun to see his evolution, and it's kind of fun that his evolution, caused us to, evolve a little bit from the, the typical tired, but true, it works for us. Don't get me wrong. The top six lists are great, but it just wouldn't fit in this case. And I think that's cool. And I think that's, very indicative of Kevin Smith and, why we do enjoy what he does.
Oh, exactly, and the guy's got a lot of varied work to his name. I mean, I haven't read all of his comic book stuff, honestly, and there's some of it that I have read that I've liked, some of it I haven't liked. But it's just, ultimately it's a question of, is that something that I would intrinsically be interested in anyway, type of thing. And I for one love his spoken word stuff, or his Q&A, the Evening with Kevin Smith, line of stuff. With I think up until recently, my favorite was probably the second one is great, but the his most recent one, Kevin Smith Burn in Hell, is or Kevin Smith Goes to Hell. Has a big segment in it, two big segments in it that really struck home and rang true with me, and I go back and I watch it again and again for that stuff when I'm feeling that a little dejected or a little lost in what I want to be doing. I go back and look at that and sort of listen to that, and that sort of becomes a good mantra, is that why not? And he is a great role model for that, in that he does what he wants, but he doesn't do it to be an asshole. He does it because, well, why not? And he doesn't try to tell people that's, I am this great, prophet and people should follow me. But he goes out there and says, this is just what I think. And, you should do this if, just why not, do it, But he's also like, if you don't, okay, cool, I really admire a lot of what he's done.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, in terms of Kevin Smith's films,
right?
I'm not going to ask you to rank them, but what are some of your favorites and why?
I mentioned Mallrats. Mallrats, the first one I saw. The comic book elements of that I thought were great, and really the thing that struck me when I first saw it in the 90s was, I thought the you'll say this about all of Kevin Smith's stuff, is the dialogue was spot on and felt real, real smart and witty and just felt real. And a lot of times when you're watching movies like that, it feels really contrived, or it felt really, really staged, type of thing. And it's like, okay, these are people who are writing about, people who wrote this movie aren't people who actually know about this stuff, And it's like, oh, well, we need something about comic books in here, so we'll write about, comic books. But this actually felt as if someone who actually knew what the hell he was talking about,
Oh, absolutely.
I would say a lot of people really, really like Chasing Amy. I think Chasing Amy has some great parts in it, but it's not one of my personal favorites.
In me either. And most people, and hell, Kevin Smith says it himself, but uh-huh. Most people think that it's his best film, and I think it's a well-made film. I think it is. I think it's a film with heart, but I also think the message in it is very stupid. Sure. You know, and the characters are detestable, and you know, it's obviously a very immature point of view, and maybe that's what he's trying to get across.
Right.
I always felt that there wasn't enough of grown up Holden, you know, because mm-hmm. he just gets to the point where, hey, I can fuck my girlfriend and best friend, and I can all fuck, and everything will be better. Yeah. I mean, obviously that's the dumbest shit ever, but you know, it would have been nice to see Holden, you know, actually being a grown up beyond, you know, writing a black and white comic book a couple of years later after getting away from the man. Right. But yeah, my personal favorite of his movies is Clerks 2. I love Clerks 2. And don't get me wrong, I like Clerks a lot. I think Clerks 2 and the first Clerks are, you know, two completely different movies with different messages and everything. But my thing about Clerks 2 is it's a movie about, you know, getting old, you know, because it's something that I go through, and you know, well, we just
talked a bit about how the first Clerks was very representative of how, you know, how we were back in those days, and Clerks 2, I agree with you, and Clerks 2 is absolutely one of my favorites because it still felt like it represented us just, you know, down the line and, you know, moving on into later realms of adulthood, you know, into our 30s. And, you know, I mean, I'm 33 now. And so, you mean, you're 33 almost, you're 2 months older than me?
Yeah, actually, today is my 33rd and a half birthday. So 6 months from today, I'm going to be 34.
Oh, great. You're an old man. But the Clerks 2 is, I completely agree with you. Clerks 2 has this great grown-up sense to it, and it's just not a sequel for the sake of being a sequel. It actually is a continuation. It's another story with these guys. Yes, it has some fucking hilarious moments in it. You know, I mean, I still pee myself almost laughing when he's talking about the Lord of the Rings business. I mean, that shit is hilarious. But that movie has a really good heart to it, and it just still feels very representative of who we are.
You know, say that I'm not a manly man or masculine. Well, first off, I'm not. You know, call me a girl. But the first time I saw that movie and the whole scene in the jail, when it's like we should buy the quick stop and open it ourselves, and I could not believe the performance of Jeff Anderson turned in. I had tears in my eyes with the, are you really going to make me do this? I love you, man. Don't leave me. I mean, it was such a heartfelt moment that I just was mm-hmm. not expecting. And I adore that movie. And it kind of like, I've got friends, good friends, you know, friends that I love that hate that movie. And it just makes me wonder what the hell's going on. Cause I find it a fantastic movie, such a good movie.
Yeah. And I hate to, you know, fall into that trope of saying, well, they either get it or they don't, but it's one of those things that were, I think it goes back to the first Clerks and how we really ended up identifying with it. You and me, especially just the way, you know, the way we, our lives were. And, you know, Clerks 2 just really continued to ring that same bell. I personally love it. It's one of my favorites. I don't really want to say, oh, this is my favorite movie he's ever done, because I love different aspects of tons of his movies, you know, cause I love the smartness. I love the outlandishness of Dogma and of the absolute wackiness of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. They're charming.
Live action and, Warner Brothers cartoon.
Exactly. You know, it's fun, and it's just, you know, screwball entertainment, and you know, who gives a shit? It's still fun to sit down and watch and just have a fun time at the movies. And that sort of embodies what Kevin Smith is to me. Is he is one of those guys who, like, you know, if you want to go and have fun at the fucking movies, go have fun at the fucking movies. You want to go have fun reading a book, go have fun reading a fucking book. But it you don't have to sit there and have a big deep meaning to it, you know, you just have to be entertained. And not in a way that you're spending $200 million like in a Michael Bay movie or something, you know?
Sure.
But you get a movie like Dogma, which I think...
Oh, I want to say something. I needed to correct you on something. You might not have known it at the time. You might have found it out by now. But you guys did on Gamers Haven Podcast, episode 99. Uh-huh. You did a review or a rave of
Shit
Life Stories from a fat lady slob that did good. And... there's a point in it where you're talking about his, you couldn't quite remember what his favorite, what his highest grossing movie was. And I think you guys all decided it was Dogma, and it wasn't. It was,
Cop Out. Yeah, it's Cop Out made
$55,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not by much, but it was his highest grossing film. And he hates that because he seems really detached from Cop Out. He just didn't seem like he had a good time on it.
Oh no, he didn't. He didn't. Very much didn't. Although he said he had he sort of had a good experience in that studio mode of saying, you know, I could just direct something and be done with it, you know, and that's interesting. And he could get paid a lot of money for it, I'm sure. But I think
he didn't.
Well, yeah, but
he gave up. He gave up a good chunk of his salary to get Bruce Willis in that movie. So did Tracy Morgan.
And you know, I sort of am now with you on the whole fuck Bruce Willis thing. He does entertaining movies, but he is a dick.
Yeah,
I just can't.
He is a dick, and Bruce Willis can go eat a bag of dicks. As I like
he
to
can.
Say.
Bruce Willis can go eat a bag of dicks. Exactly.
Yeah, he's a jerk. I mean, I'm not going to punish myself by Joseph Gordon-Levitt is my favorite actor and he's doing this kick-ass fucking time travel movie. Oh fuck that, Bruce Willis is in it. No, I'm not going to do that. I just don't care about Bruce Willis. I think he's a jerk and I don't believe he deserves the praise he does get.
No, I agree. And he still does good and entertaining movies. I mean, I plan on seeing Red 2. I loved the first Red, so you know.
I did too.
But but beyond all that is, you know, I know Kevin Smith has some various things in the fire. I for one am very excited about Clerks 3. I hope it actually happens.
Oh, yeah.
I hope I know
I bet it will.
I know. I hope it
they're
does.
I'm sure they're going to crowdsource it. I'm almost positive they're going to crowdsource it.
Oh, yeah. And I'll totally be in on that if they do that.
Yeah, me too.
But Clerks 2, Clerks 3. I mean, I've got a good number of his movies
Clerks
on Blu-ray.
Clerks the fucking animated series, yo.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
I love Clerks the animated series.
Oh, man. I remember watching that with you and... Yes, and the scene in the episode where the mole men eat someone.
He reaches over and eats, and
I think you fell out of your chair.
Yeah, I was laughing my ass off.
And to this day,
I thought about it when we did our favorite movie lines, but it wasn't a movie. But one of those things I use a lot is, do you sell black tar heroin?
Yes.
It still fucking cracks me up 10 years later, and I still say it. Like when somebody goes into a store and they're asking too many questions. Like just yesterday, Rachel and I were in a Hy-Vee, and there's this lady in front of us, and she had ate a salad, and she said, "Well," and she walked up to the guy, and she was buying something, and she said, "They told me at the deli that you know you guys don't recycle plastic. I know that isn't true. So where do I recycle it?" And the kid behind the counter is like, "Well, we don't recycle plastic." And she's like, "Oh well, you should." And she goes on this big long tangent about about how it's bad for the environment. And then he's like, "Okay, whatever." And he rang up whatever it was she had. And then he says, "Do you have our fuel saver card?" And she's like, "Actually, no, I don't have your fuel saver card because you know that means that I would have to buy the Hy-Vee in store brands, and a lot of those have way too much sodium and you know blah 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 blah." And I just look over at the kid. I'm like, "Do you sell black tar heroin?" And then it's just like yesterday.
It's one of those things where you wish that more people have seen it so you could make that connection with some people, you know. But I know exactly though that you sell black tar heroin.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's just good. Good shit all around.
The same vein. Sorry to interrupt there, but the same vein. Whenever we're going out the door, my family and you know someone asks, "Right, who is driving?" I immediately go, Bear is driving. How can that be?
Bear's driving. How can that be?
Yeah.
I mean, this is all good stuff. I mean, this is something that I have, and I love it, and I watch it often.
Yeah.
As far as the Kevin Smith movies, you got, you know, Clerks and Mallrats, mm-hmm. and Chasing Amy and Dogma and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and Clerks 2 and, you know, all those. Yeah, you know, those are the Kevin Smith movies, and, you know, yeah. those are, you know, the to varying degrees are okay. I know that you and I were some of the few people that like Jersey Girl. I thought Jersey Girl is a sweet movie with some
so
really heartfelt moments.
I really enjoy it. It just had the problem of coming. It had the problem of coming out when it did. I know, and you're, people right listening after. To this show are gonna be like, "Oh, this is just going to be an hour and a half long show of them sucking Kevin Smith's dick." But you know, facing the facts, Jersey Girl was not a bad movie. It was very sweet. It was, you know, it was good little romantic comedy, and it was smart. It was witty, and I didn't have a problem with it, and I generally don't go for movies like that to a certain extent. But
I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah,
I mean, you had some of the best acting in George Carlin's career. Mm-hmm. Some really sweet, heartfelt, you know, moments filled with pathos in a Kevin Smith movie, and people mm-hmm. like, ha ha ha, it's a Bennifer movie. Fuck that.
Yeah,
and that's just so unfair to them. So, you know, we got that one, and what I'm doing is I'm working my way down the non-Kevin Smith movies. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, when I say non-Kevin Smith movies, I mean the Outside the View Askew Universe movies, and that would be one. And we'd have Cop Out, which you haven't watched all of. I do challenge you to watch it again, because there is some funny stuff in it, like moving on. And now we're going to talk about Red State.
All right.
I know that, you know, about months ago, maybe a year ago, right when Red State first came out, and you're still coming to my house to record the podcast, it was on, and you came in, and I was watching it, and I turned it off for whatever, and then we were talking about it later at some point, and you're like, yeah, I saw nothing in that that made me want to see it. And I was kind of like, yeah, it was really weird. And I find myself, I think I've watched it 10 times now, mm-hmm. because I might not, I mean, it's certainly a hard movie to watch, but I find it fascinating, and you have finally seen it now, right?
Yes, I've watched it all.
Where are you on that? How are you on that one?
It's one of those movies that I really like the way it was done, you know. But sure. I don't generally go for movies like that.
P.T. Barnum style, yeah.
But not even that. It's just that type of a horror. I mean, I'm not a huge horror guy, and I have a hard time really quantifying that movie as a horror movie, because it's not really a horror movie to me.
It's not really.
I think it was entirely well made. If I had seen it and not known that it was Kevin Smith, I don't think I would have known that it was Kevin Smith. You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably.
You see a Steven Spielberg movie, you know it's a Steven Spielberg movie. You see a Ridley Scott movie, you know it's a Ridley Scott movie. But
you typically see a Kevin Smith movie, you know it's a Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah, but this one didn't feel like it was a Kevin Smith movie. It felt like it was a independent, some independent, you know, art house film, you know, and that's not, I don't want to say that in any kind of derogatory way towards Kevin Smith. It was, it was a very well-made movie. It's just one of those that it was just not a movie for me.
Right.
I recognize that there are like good acting. There's great acting in it. Honestly, I think it was a good story. It's just not a movie that I liked. It's like, for me, it's like Million Dollar Baby. You know, I recognize that's a good movie. It's just not a movie
I love Million Dollar Baby.
You know,
my thing about, Cop Out, Red State, I have a hard time saying that I like it, because it's difficult to watch. And, you know, I've talked about it before on other shows. Like, one of those things that just really... that just really, you know, makes me queasy, my skin crawls, is domestic religious extremism. And, you know, that's what that movie was all about. And I also found it endlessly fascinating that, you know, as soon as you thought that the story would go one direction, it goes in another direction. Mm-hmm. And, like, I would, if I ever make a lot of money, I might try to give Kevin Smith, you know, a couple $100,000 and beg him to film the original ending for that movie that, you know, that he had in mind. I mean, I swear that would be so fucking cool. I mean, even if Steve Stark made a Stark Tunes of it, that would rock.
Yes.
But, you know, it's just, you know, with the whole thing with the rapture actually coming. Uh-huh. That would have been so fucking cool. And I think that, you know, granted the ending that they had was the smart ending, it was a responsible ending.
Yeah.
It would have been so amazing if that was the actual ending
yes.
of the movie.
And I think
I find it fascinating.
Yeah, if he had had that original ending, I think I would like the movie. You know, and not saying I don't that I hate the movie or I don't like the movie. It's just not for me. I mean, I love John Goodman in it. It's
Michael Parks was very good in it.
Oh, yes. And it's very visceral. So I mean, I think award wise, I think it got ignored because of the politics of the movie. You know, the obvious. Oh, it's the politics of it's the Westboro Baptist Church type of shit. No, it's the politics of Kevin Smith.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree. I like the movie. I am looking forward to he's also got a it's actually going to be a mini series, and I don't know if he said what network it's going to be on yet.
No,
but
yeah,
he's going to have a mini series come out called Hit Somebody. It's going to be his hockey story.
Yeah.
I don't even really know what it's about. It's based off the Warren Zevon song Hit Somebody, but it's also, you know, a hockey epic, and I don't give two fucks about hockey, but I would love to watch a Kevin Smith movie about hockey because that dude's passion is infectious.
Oh, yeah. You've talked about Quentin Tarantino on this show numerous times, and you've talked about how watching his movies and sort of getting into his stuff is it's not so much about the content of his movies, it's about the passion he has for the medium. It's like that dude loves movies. In the same vein, Kevin Smith, that dude loves hockey. But he also loves movies.
Oh yeah,
and I feel the same way. They're two people in the same sort of vein that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I would totally watch it. You know?
The little bit I've heard him talk about Clerks 3 is that he said it's going to be his love letter to movies, and I am very interested about that. So yes. because Kevin Smith does love movies. He likes actually his five favorite movies are actually pretty goddamn good movies, but he does like some shit movies. I'll be the first to admit that. But at the same time, I don't care because it's his opinion, not mine. So I mean, and he's 42, 43 years old now. He's 10 years older than us. So we're just not going to have the same. We're not going to have the same sensibilities about movies, and that's fine. But I do like somebody being passionate about something that they're passionate about. And Kevin Smith gushes passion.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's part of the appeal of the guy and part of what I certainly am drawn to in listening to what he has to say and seeing what he does. And it's that passion. And it's that passion that I want to sort of turn around and sort of really invigorate into things in my life, because why do something if you're not passionate about it,
right? That's kind of like with the whole with the film critic thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm unemployed and broke and unhappy, but trying to get a job at anywhere. I mean, so why couldn't I put that energy into trying to get a job at something I'm passionate about and I love about, and bet you I'd be pretty good at it if I could get my foot in the door.
Because quite honestly, we spend enough years and days and time of our lives doing shit that we don't like to do. And the more that we can spend it doing stuff that we are actually happy doing, then we should do it. And if we can make it anything off of that as far as a living, I say fucking go for it. Why not? And that's exactly what Kevin Smith is sort of espousing, is that why the fuck not? Do what you love.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the thing, I think that's admirable about him. And I just don't like that dismissive attitude about him. And you know what? I've never been guilty of that dismissive attitude about him, but I have been guilty about just, not wanting to argue with it, because you and McGee at one point just jumped my ass about liking him. And I just didn't want to fucking get into it. But, I think that, you don't have to like his everything about him, but, you got to admire him, going to where the puck's going to be instead of, just being, Zach and Miri Make a Porno. He fully admits that he likes that movie. They spent a lot of time on it, but that was him, trying to make a Judd Apatow movie when, he should have been doing what he wants to do, or rather what he thinks he should do professionally.
Yeah, I completely dig. I completely agree, man.
Yep. Yep. What else about this dude do we need to talk about? I mean, there's so much. We could spend hours and hours and hours talking about him, but at the same time, you know, instead of listening to us gush about him, I think you can go and, you know, his movies, lots of them are on Netflix. Mm-hmm. He's all of his podcasts are free on, you know, they're on iTunes and you can download them. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you're in the LA area, you can go see like Hollywood Babylon, you know, for relatively cheaply and, you know, make up your own mind about him. But we like him and, you know, he's important to us, but he's also very important to this network launch. So it just,
yeah,
to me, it just felt like it made sense.
The Nerdvana Network is very much in the same vein as Smodcast and what Smodcast does. It just so happens that the people behind Smodcast also did several feature films before they actually did that. But,
yep.
And you know what? That's cool. I'm not entirely saying, hey, we're better than that or they're better than us or anything like that. It's so we just are what we are and, mm-hmm. and they are what they are.
We coexist.
And, you know, I hope it's entirely a imitation is the sincerest form of flattery type of a idea behind it. And
again,
I'm not
accusing anybody of stealing ideas from us because nobody listens, so they wouldn't do it. But yeah. How long have I been saying on this show that, you know, I want this to be a beacon of positivity? And this is something that, you know, Kevin Smith has only started on in the last year or so, but I've been going on about it for 3 years. So I do think that you know, we're certainly of the same mindset. So, yeah. You know, like following
That idea has been behind Confessions or even Red Phone Zone ever since the beginning when I got on board. You know, in episode 2, it was it was always about we really don't want to talk about the stuff we hate. We want to talk about the stuff we love because we love talking about the stuff we love. Why talk about stuff you don't like? You know, talk about stuff you like. And that is a core tenet, and that's a huge thing behind this show and behind what's going to go on in the whole network and at large, is just do what you love and talk about what you love, and other people who love that will talk about it too. And you know, we're big fans of movies on this show. That I mean, that's obvious. I mean, it's Confessions of a Movie Snob, and you know,
hey, by the way. Maybe this is for you, maybe it's for the viewers, but you know, I was having problems getting on the website today, and I was trying, you know, I said maybe I can get into it if I, you know, just you know type Confessions of a Movie Snob into Google, right? And so I don't know if you've ever you know Googled Confessions of a Movie Snob, but you start doing it, it'll do like, you know, Confessions of a you know, Shopaholic, and then Confessions of a, you know, this and of that, and so on and so forth. But I got to Confessions of a M. And ours was the first one on there. But there's, you know, like the Confessions of a Movie whatever isn't an original idea, but there's Confessions of a Movie Geek, Confessions of Movie Snobs, Confessions of a, you know, of a Film Critic Snob, and et cetera. And ours was the first hit on there, so maybe we're getting somewhere finally with this.
Maybe. Who knows? And we'll just sit back and wait for the hookers and blow to come to us, you know?
I love me some hookers and blow.
I know, totally. And yeah. You know, it's all about being better and doing more of what we love, and you know, us being the movie snobs and loving these movies and hating these movies. We very much include Kevin Smith in our cadre of movie snob lovers, and it's just that sounded very dirty, didn't it? You know, we're movie snob lovers.
Giggity. Giggity.
Exactly. But it's good stuff. I think Kevin Smith is a talented filmmaker and really a talented maker, a talented creator in general. And I really like his approachability, and I look forward to meeting him. So I'll actually be meeting him in May. So when he's down in Kansas.
Did you make that happen?
I did make that
happen. You asshole. Yes. Asshole. Uh-huh. I wish I could make that happen, but they're already sold out anyway. So, yeah,
sorry about that. There, what are you gonna do? Nothing I can do about
it. Shit happens. So I like him too.
Pretty much my wife said that if I didn't buy that ticket, she was going to stab me with very tiny knives. So I bought the ticket.
That's sweet.
And so I get to see his Q&A and do a little photo op with him and hopefully just get a minute just to shake his hand and tell him, dude, you're an inspiration. So
see if you can get him to say something for the podcast. That'd be great on your phone or something.
I will do my best. I will do my best. I'll try to hit up George Takei at Planet Comic Con too. So
there you go. There you go. And you should also maybe bring him a CD of the show or a flash drive. I don't know. He probably wouldn't care, but hey, you know, whatever. There are some people out there that like him, and you know, we aren't very critical of him anymore, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I think Kevin Smith has a lot going for him, and obviously now he's going off and he's saying that probably Clerks 3 and Hit Somebody are his last movies.
Yep.
But I think though, if you also listen to what he says, is there's a never say never in there. If he has stories to tell, he's going to tell them. And whether that's in movies, podcasts, books, comics, that's where he'll tell them. And I look forward to following him and seeing what he does. You know, I mean, he has an interesting personality around him, an interesting cult of personality. And it's very much a representative type of following that he has of guys like you and me. So.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm all for it. And I need to read. I really want to read Cacophony and his Batman Cacophony. And
Whining Gyre. I have that. It's good. It's good. Whining Gyre and Cacophony are both good. They're both available on the DC store for download, and yeah. They look beautiful on the iPad. My parents just got one of those, and I put my account on there and read them, and they're beautiful. They're beautiful. I'm very proud of Walt Flanagan's art too, because it just gets better and better and better every single time.
And I believe
it's cool to see.
He and Flanagan are working on a sequel to Widening Gyre.
It's not a sequel. It's a continuation.
Or continuation.
Because Widening Gyre ends. Gyre ends in a specific way to where you can't just leave it there. So I am very much looking forward to that. I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yep.
You're going to have to read it. I don't want to give it away to you.
No.
But it's a good story. It's a good story.
I look forward to reading it. I do. Okay. Comic Book Man is the TV show that they do on AMC Thursday nights, I think. Thursday nights, something like that.
Yep.
Thursday nights at
10:30.
Yeah, and it's, of course, got a companion podcast, which is great. And then, of course, there's a Smodcast, smodcast.com, where you can go and listen to all of their awesome stuff. I mean, I really love Hollywood Babylon. Yep. Fat Man on Batman. We have to throw that one out there. Fat Man on Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Really good. I've listened to all of those now. So,
good stuff.
And I keep iterating and telling him, I really want him to get Joel Schumacher on there.
That'd be good.
And not in a, we're going to get him on there, we're going to bitch him out. It's no, get him on there and talk to him. You know, obviously the guy was passionate about Batman in a form. So, you know, let him get on there, and I'd like to hear it. I think it'd be fun. I think there are some,
I would too,
Batman fans out there that have the knee jerk reaction of saying, fuck Joel Schumacher. But I'm like, you know what? I'd like to hear what he has to say.
Yep.
Because that is, that is part
back
of the
in the
history
day,
of that.
You know, Kevin Smith has this great quote about Batman and Robin. He's just like, well, you know what? Gay Batman's better than no Batman.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome because that's totally true.
Yeah.
I mean, we can bitch and moan about the quality of the Batman movies that we're getting, but they're a lot better than the Green Arrow movies we're getting right now, you know?
No.
It's content. Content is king.
Exactly.
Content is king.
Content is king.
So,
But okay. I think
I think we've probably talked about this enough at this point. Wouldn't you say?
I think so. I think
very
so.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Before we go, what's going to be happening on Why Not Riot in the next week? So, I mean, granted, by the time this gets out, people have already read it, and you'll be making zillions of dollars. But why don't you let me know for the sake of?
I have, you know, right now I'm going day by day as far as what I want to sort of write about on there. I'm continuing reading that that comics and graphic novels book, and I'm highlighting the exercises. Listeners can hear that I'm a little nasally today, and that's because I'm getting over a cold finally today after having it for about a week. So you know, that sort of hit me like a truck, plus I'm moving and all that good stuff, and I love excuses, apparently. But I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to be writing about yet, but I just know I'm going to be writing. So it'll go in there. And I did post in, people who listen to our last episode, the Justice League thing, I did post a little thing about that on there, in my Justice League post on there. So, definitely looking forward to that. But I know a little snippets of things coming out from the network itself is, I know my brother is looking at starting a blog at some point. I don't know when.
Oh, cool.
But he'll be a welcome addition. My wife's going to be starting up a business site on there. More on that later. And my sister has a site called CostumeWrangler.com for the Costume Wrangler's Closet. Mm-hmm. My sister does fantastic costumes. And
they are very cool. I'm actually working with her on making a Batman corset for Rachel. It's going to rock.
She's talking about doing custom, you know, superhero themed and geek themed corsets, kilts, men's ties, things like that. Because yes, I'm a bit biased, but my sister is really good at what she does. And very, very talented.
I'm not biased, and she is very good at what she does. So,
and so anything to get the word out about her CostumeWrangler.com and go there, and she has an Etsy store, and go buy her stuff, you know, because she is absolutely amazing. So, but she's going to be part of she's part of the network too. So, really, the network is awesome. People we know and love and have passionate about something that makes them a nerd, you know. So, there you go. There you have it. There you have it. But there's going to be a slew of new stuff coming up on there as soon as we get situated, moved around, and all those ducks in rooms.
Can't wait. It's a good time to be in podcasting, and I think we're in a good position because we're not just jumping out and starting a network because, you know, hey, Kevin Smith did it, and so we're going to be rich. I mean, we got content. We got years and years of content.
Oh, yeah.
And it just seems like the natural progression about what we should be doing.
Yep, totally, totally.
So, good stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. But in the meantime, you know, this has been Confessions of a Movie Snob, you know, and I'm all snobbish about it and shit. But, you know, I guess.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, we can always end this show with a Let Your Geek Flag Fly.
Yeah, Let Your Geek Flag Fly. Was cut by Uncool Aaron.